Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the Wim Hof Wednesday, episode number 7. And today, I just want to thank you, first of all, for all being here. We have 25 people. We have reached the newsletter for the instructors. We are aware that we're going to have 100 instructors in December, possibly 350 in 2022. Wim Hof's dream is to have more or at least the same amount of physiotherapists as Wim Hof instructors. We're growing. And today we have an esteemed guest, my inspiration, my role model. And just to give you a bit of background, Daniel Klukin, yes, he's a Wim Hof instructor. Yes, he trains the trainers. He instructs the instructors. And his story, coming from a place of trying to find peace within, I don't want to, you know, take away his thunder, but figuring out that the corporate world and burning out is not the best angle. And in making sure not only does he live in a way of peace and positivity, but more beautifully, making sure that he can help others along the way. For anyone who doesn't know, he is highly interested in NLP. He's certified in different aspects in that field. He's a coach, not only for instructors who are looking for that help, but for many, many people in the business world, corporate world. We're talking about people who have this ambition and want to go higher. So without further ado, I kindly ask everyone from Alexandre, Bob, Joseph, Matt, everyone turn off your, put your mics, unmute them right now. I need you to unmute. It's highly important, not only for me, but for maybe one day when you come out here. Once you unmute, I just want to give Daniel a huge round of applause. So smack your hands together and thank you, Daniel, for being here. Because thank you so much. Yeah, I could do it all day. Woo! But honestly speaking, you know, everyone, we all have busy lives and busy days, but knowing that someone like Daniel and like the others that have already shared in this group, for the Wim Hof Wednesdays, consciously knowing that this is going to help our community, it means a lot. Today's the 7th episode, and today Daniel and I went over some topics, specifically two things. You just finished becoming a certified instructor. The Academy just emailed you. Hey, you have your certificate. Hey, you can make events on your website. Daniel and I spoke about this two-word phrase, what now? Or how I like to say it, where I'm from in Jersey, what the fuck now, bro? That what now, Daniel, if you don't mind taking over, what now? And how can we not only incorporate for new instructors, but for anyone who's been an instructor and maybe wants to advance their career in this? Daniel, yeah. Turning it over to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Francesco. So first of all, if you would ask my biggest passion, and that's really training the trainers, coaches, training trainers. I'm doing that for the Wim Hof Method Academy. I'm also doing that as an international NLP trainer. Maybe you've heard of Tony Robbins, and I've worked with his mentor, and he got me certified in the field of NLP. So what I always want to do is I always go to the source. And then a few weeks ago, Francesco, who I highly appreciate, we know each other literally from one of the winter travels, the official winter travels of Wim. He was one of my students and was also in the Academy, the Master Weeks a few weeks ago. And he asked me, yeah, Daniel, can you do Wim Hof Method Wednesdays for us? Would you like to come? And I always believe in giving back. I always believe in sharing. And I always strive best when you will ask me questions today, when we have a conversation. I can do lectures. I love to do lectures. But with sessions like this, I'm really going open into it. But the theme of today, and you can just shoot in other things also at the same time, is I don't know if you see me big on your screen, because in the right top corner, you can say few, and then you can see me big. Is I've written it down so that you can see it all. It's what now? what Francesco was saying. And I want to make that what now bigger. I hope you can see it. Otherwise, just right top corner view, and then you can do speaker view, I think. If you pinned me, by the way, Francesco, if you can pin me, then everybody can see me in the spotlight for this. I don't need to be in the spotlight, but for this, it's a little bit effective. So I would like to talk to you about today with what now. And even if you're an experienced Wim Hof Method instructor with a lot of experience already, then you come back to what now when the world, for example, changes. When COVID hits you, then you also have a what now, because you're used to doing maybe your events, and then what now comes also. So you're a Wim Hof Method instructor, you're zooming back sometimes, you're a Wim Hof Method instructor, and at the same time, you're also an entrepreneur. Even if you don't like it, you're automatically, as a Wim Hof Method instructor, you are an entrepreneur. And we teach people how to deal with change, right? With an ever-changing world. We use breath work. We use the cold to teach people to deal with, let's say, challenges and the unexpected. But at the same time, you have the same thing being an entrepreneur. There's always some things going on. There's always change going on. So today, I would like to go over the what nows that you have experienced and that you're being challenged with. Because what I see in the whole field, not only in the field of the Wim Hof Method, but just in general, I see so many talented, enthusiastic, professional people that knows a lot of things. And then they get that certification, or they are already for a longer period of time, they are a trainer or an instructor. And they go out in the world, and first they have their friends, because their friends are enthusiastic. Then they have their family and they're enthusiastic. But then, in a way, the well dries up a little bit. And how do you deal with that? That is a what now? And even Francesco and I were talking about things like, how do you deal with pricing, for example? Because you're here to serve people, but at the same time, if you, in general, in the basics, don't have a nice life, and I don't mean like being a millionaire, but really to have the foundational pieces in place, that you have a house that you can live in, that you can pay maybe for your children's school, your food, the basic necessities. It's not about money. It's about energy in a way. How do you deal with that? And that's a little bit of the setting for tonight, because what I see is all those enthusiastic professional people out there, they are really having a hard time to make a living from their passion. And I know some people that I see here, like John, I know that you're, or John Whittaker, that you're really a little bit of a longer period of time in this game, because I see you online. So maybe the game has already changed for you, but then you have to deal with COVID, right? So the world is changing again. And how do you deal with that? And what I found out, and I have a little bit of a spoiler that I have to give you, is that besides my background in training and coaching and personal development for the last 10 years, I have a background in marketing and I have a background in IT. And I loved it at the time, but later I started like, this is not for me. But I realized later in time, one thing, that it's extremely important, those skills, to run a business. Because I see all those people going out there in the world, but only in the Netherlands, if you speak about from numbers, only 5% of the people can make a good living of their, let's say, the field of personal development. And then you have a whole big, that 95%, they have to do side jobs, they have to do this, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong, but if you want to really go full out, you need to build a business. And I realized later, like being an entrepreneur, if you like being a Wim Hof Method instructor, you also need to be an entrepreneur. And in a way, you need to be as passionate as being an entrepreneur as being a Wim Hof Method instructor. And maybe you have other skills, but this, the same applies. And what I found out was 2 years ago, one of the Wim Hof method instructors, he came to me and he said, hey, Daniel, can you help me? I'm struggling to make an income with what I do. And to be honest, business coaching, that's not my official thing I do. So I was a little bit like, would I like to do that? And I know the guy. So I said, yes, okay, I would like to work with you. So I gave him my price and he was like, whoa, that is a deep amount of money. So I said to him, do this, do this, do that. If you apply that, I know for a fact that you will raise your income. And if you've raised your income, you come back to me and then we're going to start to work and go to the next level. 2 months later, he reached out to me and I said, yes, now I have the money to work with you. So in 2 months' time, by applying just some simple principles, he made the cut to, let's say, start the process with me. So that made me realize that just by simple things, you can really transform your passion into a business. Because the same guy, when we started working, 1 year later, when we started, he was like really struggling with it. 1 year later, he tripled his yearly income just in 1 year, and not by doing some fancy magic funnels, Facebook ads, because I love that stuff too, but not that, just principles. So I'm not talking about strategies, because the world is constantly changing. But if you use principles, foundational things, they're always there. If Facebook disappears, there's always something different that you can use, because the principles don't change. Strategies will change, because next year or last year it was webinars. This year it's organic marketing at the moment, and it's constantly changing. But the principles of running a business are not. And to add to that, even in the time of COVID, because when COVID hit, I literally was there with my suitcase to go to the airport and go to fly to Canada from the Netherlands. I had 20 people booked for a Wim Hof Method event. People were already literally almost at the airport. And then we decided not to go. And how do you deal with that? Because the world changed again. So what now? What Francesco was already saying, like, oh man. So in the Netherlands, they had like financial aid. Like, yeah, okay, I need financial aid because all my income is like gone. But then I started to think back of those principles I've learned and I already studied, but I never, to be honest, really applied them that much. But I started to apply them. And the last 2 years, I can proudly say that I have the best 2 years of my whole entrepreneurship from the last 10 years. So my last 2 years within COVID were the best years, even with that whole changing world. So I was thinking, okay, you know, a lot of people here today, you're newly instructors. How can I give back? How can I help you to think about those principles and what did work, what didn't work? And I would like to have a little bit of a conversation about those things. But even today, Francesco, he called me before the call. He said, yeah, what is your day price, Daniel? And it's a logical question. And I think some of the more experienced people here, you have your day price already honed in. But is that the right price, for example? Or does it need to change? And although there is a whole mental idea around pricing, for example, there's a whole idea about how to have a dynamic business instead of a rigid fixed business. Because early on, I realized that being a Wim Hof Method instructor is great, but that's only one, let's say, trail. I need to have more trails out there to make it happen. So I started to explore other, let's say, modalities out there, coaching, etc., all those things. And what I found out with that is that if you are a Wim Hof method instructor, and that's how you present yourself in the world, you have a great business card. It's one of the best business cards you can have at the moment. But if that's the only thing you present to the world, is it sustainable? Because if the world is changing, if let's say, for example, the whole method is gone tomorrow, do you still have a business or not? And I made sure for myself, and that's one invitation already, how can you make a transfer for only, let's say, offering Wim Hof method stuff? How can you make it bigger? How can you, let's say, create a personal brand that you, for example, have a Sam Vogt kind of experience, or a John Whittaker, or a Pratic Way? And the Wim Hof method is a really powerful addition and a tool to use. But if that's the only thing, you're dependent. So I'm already inviting you all, how can you let go in your own way of that dependency? So if, for example, if I need to remember Patrick, how will I remember Patrick in 5 years? How will I remember Matt? How will I remember Alexander? Lulu is here, Kitaro. What sets you apart? So it doesn't mean like that you need to do all kinds of courses right now, but what is your thing that sets you apart? So I'm the trainer's trainer. A lot of people know me like that. A lot of people know me like the one of the first Wim Hof method instructors. People know me as a high performance mentor. And everything I do, everything that I put out into the world are stories around that. Will I put stories out of in the world with the Wim Hof method? Of course, because I love Wim. I love his method. I'm one of the, I think, the biggest supporters with you all here. But is it, how can I set myself apart in that whole field? Like, it's a little bit like water bottles. This is a water bottle with a green cap and a broken tie. That's special because this one has a broken tie. That's one is you don't forget, because it's really shitty if you take it with you. I don't have something together. That's what you remember. In 5 years' time, I remember my bottle with this broken lip, because it sets apart with the normal bottles that have a lip. So what is your lip? What sets you apart from the rest? And that is really important to think about. The thing that literally saved my business the last 2-3 years is that I was doing a lot of events international, and really a lot of traveling, and it sounds amazing, and you see the pictures, you know, the world, like, yeah, that's cool. It is cool, but at the same time, it's really energy consuming. And it's not only being there, because people see you there and they think, yeah, you're amazing, you've arranged your whole week. But it's almost a whole year of work in advance to find the locations, to do the marketing, to do the customer service, and the people that are a little bit more experienced, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And also, then over there, you have to deal, but also afterwards, you have to deal with things. There's always something going on. So I realized, like, okay, I've done it. It looks amazing, but how can I, for example, create something that I can do here? I have a studio that you can be in my studio here. So I started going back to a lot of one-on-one work. And you can do that with the Wim Hof method. You can do that with whatever feels good for you, where you feel comfortable with. But I can do it here in Zoom. Yeah, I can share my screen here. I have all kinds of cool things that I can work with. I can put music into the feed. I really invested in something that is not only dependable on me physically being in a location, because they changed the rules in the Netherlands again yesterday. So how can you make something that is sustainable? What sets you apart? I think that's the number one thing. What in 5 years' time do you want to remember by? What is your speciality? Don, I'm looking at you, man. What is your speciality? What sets you apart? Think about it. So that is really important. So what set you apart in that whole thing? And that has to do, I think, with one of the hardest things we as human beings find really, really hard. Because with my background in marketing, they always have a little bit of a discussion about finding your niche. So what sets you apart? Finding your niche. And that is, what specifically do you solve? The people that come to me are mostly men, and they want more energy, and they want more focus. And I found out really early in time that I only want to work with people that take responsibility for their own life. Because in the past, I didn't state that on my website. So what I got were all kinds of people that said, hey, I want to work with you. You need to solve my problems. But that's a really shitty deal to be in with your client, because then I have to solve their problems. And the only one who can solve their problems is themselves. So I realized early on in time, I'm spending much too much energy on solving them problems. So I'm a little bit edgy when you look at danielkluke.com, when you're looking at Inner Mountain Expedition. It's all edgy because I want to work with people that take responsibility for their own lives. That's my niche. I work with men 30 to 60, and I've resented that for such a long time, because then I had to make a choice. And then, for example, I know Lulu too. Yeah, but Lulu is a female. Then I'm excluding her. No, I'm not excluding her, but how I might present myself to the world, that is really clear. So my SIF, let's say my frame, how I go out in the world, is like, I work mostly men between 30 and 60, top athletes, top CEOs, etc. Those are the people that come to me. So my language is all in line with that. Everything I do is in line with that. And most of the guys, to be honest, the people that come to me, they're looking for energy, they're looking for focus, they want to connect with themselves. They have lust to feel with themselves, of course. But that's not really sexy. They want to come to me because they have a problem with their energy. My last client that came in on the first session, I said, I would like to have more energy. I said, that's a great solution. I will go to my kitchen, get some batteries. Your problem is solved, because then you have your energy back. And he started to laugh, but that broke his pattern. So the question is, who do you want to work with? And that's making choices. And that's one of the hardest things to do as a human being, because if we think we exclude other people, that's not your intention. But it's much easier to put yourself out there when you know who you want to, say, present yourself in the preferred way, the preferred group of people you want to work with. And the more clear that is, the more understanding you have of them, the easier the whole games gets. So if you would ask me, what are the, let's say, the last two, three years, the biggest changes, I started to do that. So that is making choices. And I see a lot of people, business coaches also out there, that really work on that, like, okay, finding your niche. And people, they really start to, it's a little bit like their own personal ice bath. They find it really hard. They find it really hard to make that decision. So they start to open up for everybody. But even if you look in the whole Wim Hof Method community, if I would go to Julian or I would go to Don, I would have a completely different experience, right? You're both Wim Hof Method instructors, but you're both you. So why don't you shine your light on who you are instead of trying to fit in with everybody else?
Hey, Daniel, if you don't mind me butting in right now, that's a great point. And I've done a little research on this, and I'm still like one of those people who understands what you're saying, and I get it, but I think there's a fine line of being too specific. So I'm targeting 25-year-old Italian Americans who are struggling with their identity, let's say. I think that I'm in the same boat where I'm trying to find out what my niche is, and I went from broad to saying everyone who wants to find self-love to 25-year-old who's still trying to figure out who he is. Would you suggest like how we can figure out that fine line? Because I'm loving what you're saying, especially when you said you figure out the language that they understand, so then you can basically catch their attention, so then you can help them. But do you have any advice on how far specific we get and how, yeah, I know it's depending, but maybe you can throw some insight.
Yeah, of course. Now, and how far you need to go is maybe not that important, Francesco. It's a little bit, if you're out there and you're talking to people around your self-love and the Wim Hof method, who speaks the same language as you? Who has the same problems maybe you had in the past? Who is that group? Instead of thinking about it, you're already doing it. Like for example, for myself, I work with men between 30 and 60, mostly entrepreneurs, Olympic athletes, top athletes, all the whole sort. And they're always focused on getting more success. They're always more focused on my success. The last weeks when I'm doing my personal the module about storytelling, you know, if you listened carefully, I was that guy. So it's for me relatively easy to connect into that world. If I have to do the same thing, for example, for the yoga scene, it would be really hard work for me because I really, first of all, have to read into that, let's say, that group of people, because that's not me. I know it a little bit, but I'm not breathing it. And Francesco, yeah, you're an American Italian. But isn't it true that you're a young guy, you struggled in your past, and one of the biggest problems you had was self-love? So wouldn't it be, for example, guys that need to have more self-love, something like that, between the age of blah, 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 instead of really thinking about it? Because to be honest, we are already speaking in a certain way. We're already presenting ourselves in a certain way. So instead of trying to become someone, figure out who you already are. So you turn it around.
Beautifully said. Yeah. Yeah. Now I clicked. Yeah. It's, instead of trying to tailor yourself to the masses, you just be yourself, find out who appreciates that language, that understands that language, and then focus in on that, because obviously that's what you're attracting and that's what maybe you can keep the progress going with. That really, really clicked. Thank you so much for sharing that. I hope you don't mind me asking, whenever you're ready, if anyone has a question, I think then you said it earlier. I know Matt had a question, but anyone who wants to throw in questions, but I don't want to mess up your flow. I just want to.
No, that's perfect. And what I just wanted to say, Francesco, is like, you talk about self-love, and self-love is being yourself. So if you need to put energy in being someone else to resonate with a target group, it will never work. So who are the people that you feel most comfortable with? And that, and to be honest, you don't have to find the 100% clear answer. The only thing you have to do is make a decision, coming back to that decision part. You first need to make a decision. For now, it's like this. At a certain point, it can change, because I'm always honing it in. I'm always refining it. So I hope that resonates with a lot of you that are already a little bit longer out there in the field. I hope you thought about it. Who are the people that you really... When you do your workshops, the people that are, maybe you're not, never thought about this, who in the people in your workshops have the best experience, that you get the best ratings from, the people that really resonates best? Yes, there is maybe some diversity in it, but what is the common divider between the two? What is really the connection between those people?
That was amazing. Thank you. That definitely was eye-opening. And
yeah, what I'm also interested, Francesco, is that like, how many people are a little bit more experienced in this group? Because I've seen a lot of people from the master weeks. So maybe can the people type in like how much experience they have, also that I'm a little bit more on point also for the people. Let's see. Instructor for 3 years. Yes, done. Good. 2 months. Done. I'm just already asking, did you do a lot of events being an entrepreneur, or is it relatively new, and or that you do you still find to get traction? Same question, Bob, for you also, like, what are your biggest struggles when it comes to making getting that traction on, getting everything moving? Jan, congratulations, man. 20 workshops, that is a good one. 2 years times. So I'm really curious. So both for the new ones, by the way, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, Francesco today asked me about pricing for events and keynotes. If you have those questions, just pop it in, because Francesco and I were talking about it. What are your biggest challenges in your business?
You could always unmute yourselves too, or type it in, whatever you guys want. Yeah. This is a great time to pick Daniel's brain. You got his time right now. You don't have to wait for a response through email. So take advantage.
So one of my biggest challenges was just establishing a stable venue, place where I could actually, you know, continue to do workshops in a way that I could count on. And I think I finally have found that, but it took me several years of just churches, my backyard, and so on. But I've now, I think I have found a place now. The price just went up though, but I think that's still staying. But anyways, I found that to be a huge challenge, because without knowing your venue, you have so many variables. And of course, you know, it takes a lot more ramp up for each new venue to understand all the flow in the space. And all the AV, just the electrical stuff, the project, you know, if you're going to do anything with sound, if you're going to do, how's that going to work? And it's light, air, all of those things. So anyways, once you know it, once you have a place, it really is wonderful. And I think building a partnership with that place becomes really valuable. And that's what I'm doing with the place that I work at. It is challenging to find the location that's open for that. I tried CrossFits and yoga studios, and I finally ended up at a co-working space where it was actually built by a guy who went to CrossFit Central in Austin, where they were doing so-called fire and ice back a few years ago. And he had a great experience there that really was life-changing for him. And he came back and built this place in Alexandria called Loop that he modeled on that. And so we have a sauna, we have the ice baths there. It's a nice place. And it really took that individual to build that. I had not seen anything like that before. It's a rare combination with, you know, it's got a CrossFit type of a gym, it's got the co-working space, it's got a podcasting studio. It's pretty cool. So it has a good vibe. But before that, it was parking lots and, you know, churches and things. Churches were actually very useful because they tend to not charge great amounts of rent.
No.
So anyhow, just offering that as the venue was a big deal for me.
Yeah, I get that. Yes. So thank you, Bob. Yeah. So for the new instructors, we went over it in Poland a little bit, but what is really important, and you can also always probably ask people like Bob or me, from like, what kind of questions do you need to ask a location? That is really important. And also, how can you be so real, let's say, independent as possible? Because I have my own beamer with me always. I have my own speakers with me. I have my own iStop with me. I have a checklist that in a way checks everything off, so that I never, in a way, run into problems. Do I have my challenges? Of course. But you can, in a way, the question you can ask yourself is, where is it that I need to take responsibility for? And where can I take responsibility for? So, for example, a good water supply, a good water drainage, those kinds of stuff. And really share that checklist. That is a good one. I will dive it up. Nowadays it's really easy, and I also have some preferred locations, just like mentioned by Bob. But I will, Francesco, if you would remind me, I will see if I can find that list for the whole group to share. So yeah, and always refine that checklist. So another question: marketing promotion. So Sam, you say marketing promotion, that is a really big container word. So what is your biggest challenge around marketing and promotion? Because that means so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's a bit of an umbrella term. I suppose I'm using my own social. Well, first of all, before the kind of entrepreneur sort of chapter in my life, I've been very against social media. Not against, I just hated it, really. I really didn't like what it like created, I suppose, to a certain degree. And the kind of vibration it had, I just saw a lot of people getting so absorbed within this egotistical world. And anyway, I won't get too much into that. But ultimately, now I'm recognizing the power. I see a lot of beauty and goodness that what it can do, and so I'm staying connected with that essence. But it's a struggle to constantly, not that I'm not, I feel confident in the intention of putting out posts and promoting workshops and things that I'm up to, because I really believe in like the medicinal qualities of it, you know, for the greater good. But there's always an element of having to, I suppose I hate the fact that I don't want to be, maybe annoying or pissing people off or too much, I suppose, coming through my feeds, you know? So when it comes to like constantly pushing a workshop like every week or every other week, it's like, oh, bloody hell, here we go. Sam Boots on the bloody train again, pushing these workshops, pushing these things. And it's like, I want to try and find another outlet of getting the amount of traction that social media does. So yeah, sure. I suppose, yeah, any light to be shed on that would be.
Yeah, absolutely. But then it comes back. It was what I wrote down today before we started on this session is the mindset part, because you say like, okay, when I'm on social media, I don't want to be pushy. I agree with you, because if you would present your workshop every 2 days, I would be really annoyed by you. I still love you, man, but then I would be really annoyed. But if I would go to your workshop, what would be a result for me? Just name a few results.
What you'd get from the workshop?
Yeah, if I would go to your wonderful event, what is it that I would get?
A sense of vitality, a level of connection that you haven't felt before, a sense of unity, peace within yourself, community to connect with, along with many other things, which I won't say because you'll have to come along to one.
I'm really going. Yeah, I'm going for that one. But Sam, instead of pushing your event constantly, why are you not talking and creating stories with your tone of voice for your target group of all the benefits, all the wins, instead of talking and pushing your workshop? Nobody cares about your event. Your event is a solution to a problem, to something. But if you talk about every day, I hear you talk about vitality. Now, let's get 100 people, ask about their vitality. Probably a lot of people have struggles with their vitality. And you talk about how the breathing will generate more oxygen in the cells, and that makes you feel much more vital in every day. So you're sharing stories with me. And then Daniel came to my workshop and he was like stressed like crazy, but at the end of my workshop his vitality levels he shared was so through the roof. And you're not talking about going to your workshops, you're talking about your knowledge, your expert positionings, like they call it.
Okay.
So you're an expert in something and you're telling stories, because if we would do a beer in Poland, you would tell stories to me. So instead of trying to sell me something, why won't you share stories on social media that are in the tone of voice of your group? I've written it down, like, just to give a little bit for everybody a heads up. What is your target group? What is their pain? What is their solution? And where are they? Now, those are some basic things that you want to think about. And in those areas, you want to start to create content and share stories.
Okay, yeah.
That's good. So do you get it? It's a totally different point. Instead of me pushing you into my events, like a testimonial on social media, yes, of course, there's an intention of selling behind it. But then instead of me saying you need to come, you use other people's to tell how great your event was, and then people can decide for themselves, because I know you and I trust you, but a lot of people that are outside of that circle of friends, family and acquaintances, They don't know you. So, but if I tell my friends, I literally use the power of a network. And I think the simplest principle, I was lunching today with Bart Prong that most of you know. Bart is like, he has a lot of work at the moment, just doing fundamentals workshops for corporates, for private people. He's doing great at the moment. But what he did already since the beginning, it's a little bit like standing on top of a snowy mountain. You throw a little bit of snow down, and you throw a little bit of snow down, and you throw a little bit of snow down. But all those little bits become big balls of snow. They roll down. So now, instead of being out there constantly, people come to him. People come to me. Without like the Olympic team, they came to me because of my snowballs. Mm. Not because I'm like, hey, come to my event. Yeah, Olympic people, you need to come to me. They came to me. And last Saturday, there were people from another course I did. They came to me. Daniel, can you do a Wim Hof Method course? Yeah, okay, I can do it. Week before, personal training guy in the neighborhood came to me. Can you do? He had 20 people and I only had to come. So in the beginning, you need to get traction out there. People need to know your expert positioning. Who are you? What is your tone of voice? What are their wins? It's a little, and then coming to the pricing, because I already saw the pricing also coming up. That's always an interesting point. I'm just going to share it blunt here. My first, let's say, coaching program 10 years ago, I offered it was 10 hours of work. I charged €450. 10 hours of work. And I found it a lot of money, to be honest. I found it at that time, like, whoa, this was really scary to ask such an amount to people. Will he or she say yes? It was a she, by the way. It was a she. And I literally remember looking at her face. Will she say yes? Will she say yes? And that's always a little bit of the hardest point when you're starting out. Maybe you need the money and then it's like, yeah, will it happen? And she said yes. So my reality updated. Okay, yes, I can charge €450 for this. And I created the results, of course. And then later on, you start to level up. And the metaphor I use today, because Francesco, he came to me and he asked me two things, the price for a keynote for a day and for a one-day event, people flying them into Dubai. I said, it's a little bit like buying a house. When you're a little bit in that grim neighborhood, it's a little bit underdeveloped. The house pricing is not that high yet, right? The house pricing is a little bit lower than when you would go to a magnificent neighborhood with the picket fences and the dogs running around and everything is great. But when you start out and people don't know you yet, you're a little bit in that grim neighborhood. The light literally doesn't shine that much already. But when you start to throw those snowballs out, at the same time, it's a little bit like your neighborhood gets an update because, hey, it was Sam. He trained the Olympic team, or hey, there was Sam or Francesco that flown to Dubai. So now he's an international trainer because he went from Germany to Dubai. Ah, okay. And he's an international trainer. So there's a little bit of light coming into his neighborhood. So the neighborhood rises up and it rises up and it rises up. So the pricing goes up with, in a way, the update of the neighborhood. And there is a whole psychology behind this because it's also what you feel that you're worth. So literally today, the call with Francesco went like this. He called me. He said, Daniel, I'm invited to go to Dubai. What do I need to charge? And I said to him, it all depends. I said, yeah, but I don't know. I said to him, will you come to Dubai for €100? And he was like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe, yeah. So he was doubting about that amount. And I was teasing him because I was just wanted to check his reaction because he wanted to hear an amount from me. But I wanted to check him because if he doesn't feel comfortable with the amount, it will never work. So I said to him, okay, but now I'm charging you €500 for a day. Will you come? And he immediately said yes. I said, okay, maybe that's a good starting point to have that at least as a minimum. So if that resonates and feel good, that's good. Because he feels something differently with €100 for a day instead of a €500 of a day. maybe in 5 years' time, he says, yeah, but I'm worth 5,000 euros a day. Because the neighborhood is risen, the light is there, people start to get them all kinds of events. He's that guy that does all the public speaking about wonderful self-love. And then one thing that I've learned the hard way, especially with doing events that are further away from your home, it's not about the pricing you get for an event. Because I've been in Poland a few months ago for a group of dentists. So they asked me to fly to come to Poland. And then I have a day price, but it is not about that day, because you also have a day before at least and a day afterwards, because you have to travel. So in my pricing, I take at least 50% of my day price. I add on top of my normal price because I want to be, let's say, what my travel days are two full days that I'm missing of running my business and doing my thing or not being with my family. I just see it as energy. I'm not seeing it as money. I just see it as energy. So if I'm doing a 1 day event of speaking, but it is a 3 days work, then at least I want to have 2 days, 1.5 days, depending on how what feels good for you. And then you have the travel cost on top of that. And I made a big mistake with that one, because I was like, oh, wow, somebody is paying me like 1,000 euros to come to Poland. But then you have those 3 days, then at least you have to divide the amount by three. Maybe I said at that time, yeah, I will pay my own ticket, another 200 euros. Oh, that goes from that 1,000 euros also. So down the line, if you really also with your preparation for the keynote or presentation or workshop, what you're doing yourself, you're not making that much. And that's okay if you're doing it for, let's say references, publicity or good causes or whatever. I'm not saying, hey, it's about asking top prices, but I want you to get a different thinking pattern in, because it's about your energy. We're talking a lot in the Wim Hof method of connection, energy, vitality, but how do you manage your own vitality? So that's a little bit with the pricing. Is like what feels good for you. That's the basic standard, and really explore different prices. So what I did with Francesco, would you do it if I would all come, there are some people from the US, would you like to come for 50 euros? No, I wouldn't do it, but maybe you would like to see the Netherlands. That is a really smart choice then to just come here. But otherwise, ask yourself, is that what I want? Makes sense, guys. I just wanted to check in if this is value for you. I'm just spewing a little bit, like, really, because I made a lot of mistakes when it comes to managing your energy. It was really like, okay, I gained drain at home. I did an event in California a few years ago. It was fantastic. You fly to California, you have pictures, you have testimonials. It was a great experience. But at the end of the line, I think I made like 500 euros for the whole thing. And it took me one week to recover from the jet lag, the whole shabam, and all those kinds of things. So there is a lot of things going into that, and I hope it makes sense. So one last thing that I want to wrap it up with was Sharon. Something that we already see in the Netherlands is that the copycat Wim Hof Method instructors. Who has copycat Wim Hof Method instructors in the neighborhood? Raise your hand for the copycats. Yes, especially in the Netherlands, you get them more and more, because we were, of course, the first with the Wim Hof Method, and so many copycats are coming. And the first time I saw it, it was like, he's taking my business. It was really a little bit of feeling of this. So, but then it happened more and more, and you start to deal with yourself and like, okay, what is the work that I need to do on myself? Because my influence is outside, it's outside of my control. I can't stop somebody else doing a workshop with cold and breathing. That is impossible because it's not regulated. The only thing that is regulated, and that's something we all need to be vigilant about, is the name. If somebody is using the name Wim Hof Method, just send an email to support or academy at Wim Hof Method, and then they will tackle that. The only thing, and I always send a message to the person. That's the only thing that is protected. So But you have a leverage point. You are a Wim Hof Method instructor and you have copycats, but they are not Wim Hof Method instructors. And if you find your tone of voice, your target group, a little bit how you're out there in the world, yes, people will do events and maybe they will sell it out and maybe they will do it at a certain point at the beginning better than you. But if you start to throw out those snowballs and you're an official certified instructor, then at the end of the line, you're always a winner. But that's more a mindset thing instead of a strategy thing. So I hope that resonates with you all.
That was, yeah, I see the MC definitely shared that passion and yeah, great advice. You can't control what's outside of you, but you can't control what's inside of you. And the fact that we are certified and the fact that we are bringing our own flavor to the table, it does show. It's just still, I can empathize with him. And I know you have gone through it yourself, Daniel, but great advice because it's definitely the only thing we can do. With that being said, I cannot thank you enough, Daniel. This has been another wonderful week, but you brought your special energy here, your experience, your advice, your tips, you answered questions for us. And for anyone who isn't following Daniel on Instagram or Facebook or hasn't visited his website, please do. So you can find Daniel Klukin easily on Instagram, on Facebook. And can you type your exact website here? It's innermountainsexpeditions.com. It's a just so I don't misspell any of the actual
yeah,
part.
Yeah, I've one of the strangest last name. And then Innermountain.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, you can see how he's targeting his audience and what he's hoping for. But if anyone who's not in that target comes, I bet you they're going to have a great time. But it's just a matter of finding that angle. I can't thank you enough. Just like if we started this, I would like for everyone to please, please kindly unmute yourselves because Daniel took his time not only to speak to me today to prep for this, but to do this for us, going over the time where he could, like he said earlier, and time is energy. Energy could be to help, I don't know, paint his walls or buy these cool mics. So please put both your hands together and just clap for Daniel and thank him because this is really super appreciated. The what now?
Yeah, thank you all. And I really kept it open and loose today. I love you all, and I'm always sharing from the heart. And there is, in a way, an hour is not enough. The people that know me from the master modules, like if we would have another week, I could share value too. But I just wanted to give you a little bit of that boost or that mindset. And even if you're an experienced instructor, I hope it still inspired you to get some new ideas, to really get that traction going. Because to get to that 5%, I can honestly say it's one of the best feelings when you get there. So, yeah. And if you have the feeling like I want to do something with it, just shoot a message and just start it with what now? And then I know if we can see if I can help you in one way or the other. So,
Daniel, I mean, you already did this with one of the instructors before us who started, you guided them. So if anyone's interested in that, Daniel has a route that works before. So like he just said, take advantage of that. We're here for each other and it's all about growing. And yeah. With that being said, I would like to just let everyone know that next week, Sandra, who is one of the newest instructors, she will be sharing her topic, which I'm going to keep it a secret so then we can start announcing it, but she's going to be sharing with us. So same time, same place, same link. Wim Hof Wednesdays is really not only for the new instructor, but for anyone who wants to hear someone's tips, advice, and also just be a part of the community. Because where I'm in Germany, I'm a lone ranger. So with that being said, I'm sending you a big hug, a big kiss, and I'm out like this. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thank you,
Francesco.
Nice.
Thank
goodbye, you. Everyone. Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.